Whew, at last. I'm free to get out of here. Jesus. Hi, it's Freeform Radio, WFMU, and this brings Thursday afternoon's time slot from 3 to 6 p.m. to a just about a close. We finished with Chic from their fantastic 1978 record, Say Chic, I Want Your Love. Pie Corner Audio, wow. It's an exciting moment when there's a new Pie Corner Audio record, and there is one. It's called Let's Emerge. We heard Lyric Howl. Open that set with music from Yay Big. New record called Shapes Explained for Michael Costanza. There's no explaining shapes. You know what's funny about that? That was the thing that you heard that you'd think, okay, that's, I'd call that the spiritual jazz, right? Spiritual jazz is music that people play together. Yeah? He played it all by himself. He did a very good job. He played all the instruments. He played the crappy flute that his friend Michael gave him. He played the saxophone. I think he might have played a bass clarinet. He played some drums. He played some guitar. He did it all by him. And real nice blends, man. Go Yay Big. There's no explaining shapes. My name is Scott. You're tuned to Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM worldwide. Online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned. Hardy White, Miracle Nutrition, coming right up. Bye.
To Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White, and I'm sending you this message in a bottle. It's my diary, really, because I'm stranded on a desert island. And it's not really a bottle, because my diary wouldn't fit in a bottle. So I'm sorry it's so large. It was used to still, I don't know what they stored in it, some kind of olive oil, maybe. Hand sanitizer. I find myself on a desert island. It is not desert, nor is it even deserted, I think, because I smell what smells like a food court. But I will now tell you my story of how I arrived here, stranded on these dismal shores. I don't remember. Some of it I do remember. I think I entered a river race of novelty boats. The premise was that you were to make a boat out of something that you found around the house. And I found a boat. And so I skipped any other steps and I just took that boat right to the race. And it was too good, too efficient. They had meant for us to be floating on old cots or storage bins, something like that, an inflatable pool. But I had a proper boat, and it took me farther than I needed to go. And I just kept going. And I fell asleep because it had a cabin. You know, you go down there and you think, I'm just going to curl up for a few minutes in this cozy cabin. And then it begins to storm and you imagine that you're just laying on your couch at home and you have one of those channels on the TV, the ASMR for rain. And it says luxury New York apartment. And you go, I'm in a luxury New York apartment at sea, because they have those. There are cruise ships that are boats that have entire condominiums stacked on them. Just high-rise apartment buildings right on the deck of the boat. And in those, oh, eager vacationers who long to oil their chests and dance poolside. Poolside? On a boat? Are you telling me that this thing, surrounded by water, has something in it, like a boat-shaped thing filled with water? Why, yes. Isn't that strange? It's the swimming pool of Theseus. So it's started as an idea. Hey, wouldn't it be weird to have water in the boat, but we didn't mind. And then it got out of hand. And now we have pools everywhere. Wherever there are people, there is a swimming pool. They want to put one in. They have them in cars now, which was predicted by Dick Tracy. Dick Tracy cartoon predicted a lot of things like that. We would have record players in our cars. That's transpired. Many things like that. And art, sometimes, in a visionary way, paves the way for our future expeditions of imagination and engineering and the shows that we have. What are you talking about, Hardy? I don't know. Sometimes I know, and other times I feel I drift off into a place of not knowing when I'm speaking to you. It's as if, how can you get lost in my gaze, Hardy, if we're not in the same room? Isn't that, it's amazing. Motor neurons? I don't know. But somehow I just feel like just looking. Sometimes I just want to stop talking and look you in the eye. But here I am writing a diary. So I don't even know who's reading my diary. And I'm writing this because, like I said, I've stranded myself on this desert island. Well, the boat got here, and I don't remember getting off of the boat, but I somehow disembarked and got to these shores, and I sat down, and then I suppose at some point I made myself a coconut Adirondack chair and also a palm chaise. So I made those two things, I constructed them, and I'm sitting in them, and it's not uncomfortable. This coconut Adirondack chair, it has the wide arms upon which to set my drink. And what do you think I'm drinking? Something tropical. Why do you assume that the island is in the tropics on which I'm stranded? It may not be. Well, you had coconut. The coconuts could have been left here by someone. They could have come by, dumped some coconuts, you don't know. So we just, I'm not saying they're endemic, indigenous to the island. I don't even know if it's an island yet. If it's a peninsula, I'm good. I'm good to go. I'll just head that way, away from the water. And then just follow the shoreline right up into the proper part and off the dangly bit, this fake island. But it could be a proper island, and I might walk the shore and find that I'm right back where I started from. Oh, that's a scary feeling. Say, I'm going to walk this shoreline and it'll bring me somewhere. So if you did that in Miami, you'd go, oh, I'm in Del Rey. But that's not going to happen here. I think I'm going to start out in virtual Del Rey and then I'm going to end back up there. So no matter what coast you go up, what if it turned in upon itself? Here's the thing that I fear. The coastline is a Möbius strip, and I end up on the underside of the coastline somehow. To me, I'm always walking on its surface, but somehow, flip, I'm flipped. So I don't want this to happen. It's like also with a Klein bottle. Things are shaped like that. I had a house shaped like a Klein bottle. Tesseract. I had all sorts of don't these stupid four-dimensional houses, you get tricked into them a lot of times. So, oh, the extra dimension, you can store things there. It's like extra storage. It isn't. You don't know where in time you leave things and all that kind of stuff. So I don't recommend it. And people make fun of me for having a two-dimensional house. They go, you're just sitting on a flat surface with something drawn around you. What is that? And I go, it's Sharpie. It's not really two-dimensional because the Sharpie ink, you can't see it, but it does have some dimension. So it's symbolic two-dimensional house. And I sit in that. And then I try to meditate or extrapolate to other dimensions. And I'll pick one at random. I go, what is the 184th dimension like? And I can't quite grasp it. Fifth dimension's hard to imagine because of the singing group has ruined it. You know how they've superseded and now you can't think of anything but that. Isn't that interesting? Why even report on what's happening to you on Desert Island? What if no one sees it but you? Why speak to yourself, Hardy? Hardy? Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. I've been trained to ignore myself. And so I wasn't paying attention. Could you say that again, please? Could you say that again, please? Oh, yes, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just the hard of hearing part of your subconscious. Hello. I'm essentially speaking to myself. I always am. Even when I'm speaking to other human beings, in a way, I'm speaking to myself, especially if they don't answer and aren't there. But this diary, I don't know, is it a letter to future me? Is it a demonstration of hope? Am I saying, well, I'm writing this down in hopes that there's a future and there's a reader? What has happened to me? What if I forget it? What happened? Because you know how time compresses like that. So let's say I get stranded on this island and I have very much adventures. I discover coconut cheese. I discover, all sorts of things. I live on a diet that was described by Baloo the bear in Jungle Book. So under rocks, there's ants and termites. I eat those. And I want to let everybody know, in case, I guess, they're in this situation, and I can pass on my wisdom. I go, this thing is a fruit, this thing is not. And then I might even have illustrations. Someone will find my diary years from now. I have a treasure map in it. That's a joke. I put that there as a joke. I thought that would be amusing. They'd spend some time looking for it, and then they'd realize, hey, there is no treasure, but we've discovered ourselves. We're the treasure. I was looking everywhere, and my quest had made me start thinking about questing. It made me start thinking about, what is treasure? What do I hope to find? And what will I do with it? And how will it change my life? And it's wonderful if you can do all that with there being no consequence. Because if the answer is it will destroy it, and then suddenly you find the treasure, But if you're never going to find it to begin with, that's so wonderful. I go on trips all the time to the airport as if I was flying somewhere. Because that's part of it. That's exciting. And so I say, you know, it's not the getting anywhere. But the airport on is usually the worst part of the trip. And leaving, coming home, the pressure of being out of a hotel room is overwhelming. We got to be out of here. When do we got to be out of here? Because in my imagination, they just, I don't know what they do, whether the floor opens up and they flush all the furniture into the garbage or something. I really don't know what I think happens. This is no longer your room. You feel so cozy in there, like it's yours. You start to make a little camp and everything, then they kick you right out. It's disconcerting. That's why I have nightmares about leaving hotel rooms. And, you know, or your own house, you know. You no longer live here, ghost, go away. That's your relationship to a hotel room is a bit like a ghost. You know, we used to be in 213 just like you are now. The very same. We were all so excited that the ice machine was just right across the hall. But also, annoyed that we would hear it all. Why are they doing the ghost voice? That's right, the people who are being haunted don't do the ghost voice. My bad, it's the ghost that does the voice. Oh no, or was I doing the ghost? I don't even remember. I wonder why they speak like that. Because they don't have any substance. It's hard to speak when you're just vapor or essence. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Day two. Fell asleep in my clothes again. It might not even be day... You know what? I don't think it's day two. I think I just fell asleep briefly. It might have been 5 minutes. I lost my watch when the boat was... dashed onto the rocks. It was dashed. I wasn't awake at the time, but I felt we were being dashed. And then when I saw the boat, it had dash marks. So I knew that that had happened while we slept. And here we are. And now I wonder if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. Should I make a domicile? Or should I try to find a cave? Or find a cave that's already been improved? That would be nice. What if I happen upon a cave and somebody's been in there and they made it some kind of glam cave and it's just, wow. Tapestries. Temperature is always 70. Oh, it's really nice in there. And I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know whether there's bears on islands either. I should have, oh gosh. You know, geography mainly covers your major countries and whether Bolivia exports aluminum or whatever, but they don't go really over individual little islands dotted all over the globe. There's millions of them, really. And then what's on each one of them and what lives there. Gilligan's wasn't real. So I don't know about the shot in the beginning.
Sire, your new clothes are ready.
What's this?
Your new clothes, Your Majesty.
But I can see them!
Yes, they are clothes.
No, 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 this is all wrong. I wanted invisible clothing. These are ordinary king's robes. If I wear these, no one will notice. They'll just think, there's the king going by like he always does, and they won't notice me. I want to appear nude. That way they will see me, really see me. Otherwise I'll blend in. These clothes you bring me will make me invisible.
I am confused, sire.
The people will not perceive me.
But you... are the Emperor. It is only you whose perception matters. You are seen by the most important person. You.
Well, that's a good point. I see myself as I really am. I hereby notice myself. Hello, can anybody see me? Can anybody see me? Am I invisible? I'm standing right here. Can anyone see me? No one is acknowledging my presence. I know I'm here. I don't care if nobody sees me. I don't even want their attention. I have my own attention. I see me, and I'm standing here on this street corner. I am alive. I am perceiving. Wait, I think this is a dream. Give me a regular matter, you Wong.
Hey, Butchie, wake up. You're having a bad dream.
I wasn't having a bad dream. I was just having a dream.
Well, you kept yelling like, can anybody see me?
Oh, for Pete's sake. Why did you wake me up? Hello? Oh, really? Now, it seems like there's some kind of dream within a dream thing going on, and that is not true at all. It might seem embedded or recursive, but it's not. See, this is sort of a radio play. It's a show. One thing leads to another.
and it might try to trick you into thinking that it doesn't understand this, or that you're witnessing something that other people are not witnessing, or that you are experiencing something that might be different than what other people are experiencing, or that all reality is contingent on your perceptions. But I don't know if this is true. 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 Hey, Mr. Carmichael, so glad you could help us out.
Dear boy, I am always glad to help.
So you'll be playing the part of the Emperor in a sort of Emperor's New Clothes thing, but with a twist.
Ah, twist. So something perhaps like, I am the only one who can see the clothing.
Close. Everyone will see the clothing.
Ah, although they are invisible.
No, they're just regular visible clothes.
And yet, they go invisible if you turn one of the jewels on the ermine cape.
No, not quite. They are visible to everyone, but the Emperor wants to be seen naked.
And so he refuses to put on the clothes.
No, he puts them on, but he wants them to not work.
You know, I'm not exactly a method actor. My technique is really just more of pretending I'm a king, and then I speak in sonorous tones.
How's that? I don't think it's necessary that I see things as they really are, or understand the script or anything.
That's all perception, 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 perception.
You don't need to do that either. We have a delay device.
Oh, good.
Shh. Oh, hey, I'm trapped inside a box.
Oh, that's good, Butch, but you don't have to do that. We'll either record you actually in a box, or we'll add an effect.
Why? This sounds like I'm in a box. Hey, I'm in a box.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but we just wanted to be a little more realistic. All right, this is something I do not get. A little more realistic. So, you read books, right?
Well, yes.
So when you're reading and you encounter the word house, do you look at it and think, why, that's a bunch of scratches on a page. That's not a house.
Well, no, I see it and I picture a house.
Right, because you know it's a story. You know that just represents a house. So you do the rest of the work in your head, right?
Right.
As opposed to a motion picture or actual reality, where there has to be more detail, right?
Yes.
And are books inferior to motion pictures?
No, I don't know if it's a comp. They're both really, really both good.
Well, that's not true. But anyway, the thing is, why can't you do the work in your head? You're doing the perceiving. Just perceive more or less, depending on what the situation calls for.
Well, that's a good point.
Isn't it?
Shh. What?
No, I mean, shh.
Do you mean... Day 3. I have made friends. I have a cricket ball that I have named France Anton Mesmer. And he hypnotizes me, and he's helped me quit smoking. Which is easy to do on this island, because there's no... Tubox, or whatever you call where you get your cigarettes, little stands. And no cigarette machines or anything like that. And I don't smoke. I didn't. So it's been super easy to quit, but I still credit my little cricket ball. It's not a proper cricket ball. It's one of those tennis ball-looking solid things for practice when you play cricket in the park. You know, just with friends. And I also made other friends. There are people who live here on the island. Apparently there's a Sandals resort. No, I'm kidding. There's no one else here. It's very small. I did get to walk over to the other end. There's a little mountain in the middle, which I think is very picturesque. And on that, there are trees growing on the slopes of it. It's very jungly. I didn't go up in it because I heard monkeys. And I did not see a cave. So I'm a little disappointed about that. But there was some lumber that had washed up. Hear me out. I'm a mixed mind. So the lumber that washed up is treated. I know. So it's the kind that, you know, for that you do in a deck or something like that. It's not the kind that you build a house with. I need to build a house. Should I just be like, well, I'm on a desert island and I got a tree of wood, you do with what you've given? Or do I try to... Oh, I found the food court smell was a fruit. I know, but it isn't that amazing? So I followed it. I thought there must be a mall here. I was going, and then I came upon this fruit, and I was like, it smells weird. It smells like a Sbarro's, but also like some hibachi. So I don't know how it does that. But it's really to attract animals, and it works. Because the animals eat it, and then they spread the seed by pooing. But they've got to poo somewhere that the tree already likes. I wonder how it tricks you into doing that. Because, I mean, that can't be where its investment in this whole process ends. We'll trick them into eating the seeds, and then how do we get them to poo them out into ground that's fertile, the kind that we like? So they've probably got something planned there. How would they trick you there? I don't know. If you ever did get lured into some sort of restroom, you go, this restroom looks strange. It's right on the edge of a bog or whatever. That's the best conditions for growing that kind of fruit, the food court fruit. There's many things about nature I don't understand, like all of them, really. And once you figure them out, well, you never do, and then you're dead. So I guess you pass them on, but you don't even know if people take them. Darwin must be thinking, no, wait, he's not. That's the thing. He hasn't thought in a long time. So it just ended for him. The day he died, he was thinking, well, I'm advancing human. And there's this notion, even if you're atheist, people go, I wonder what Lincoln's thinking. Kind of, I wonder. There's this the idea that that person sticks around. Excuse me for the coughing. I'm over here. There's a youth group, and I'm doing bong hits with them. No, that's not true. I've got allergies, and I'm just going to choke to death right here on the island. Oh, well. I mean, everybody meets their fate. Some people don't meet them. Some people, their fate sneaks up on them, I suppose. But mine, I feel like I'm going to meet it and probably get into what I thought was a trusting relationship with fate. And then have it bite me, you know, after I suggested that it do so. So I guess I started that. I miss my friends. Oh, I miss those who would be around me, those who would tolerate me. They became more value to me as my life went on. Now that I'm alone on this island, it is in stark relief this need that I had for human companionship, for just being a part of a group, not even in charge, just sitting there and letting the good feelings surround me, which is why I see a barbecue, I go to it in the park, and it's often not my family. I'd say 100% of the time, it's not my family. And I will sit there and I have a t-shirt or something that'll say, you know, like Uncle R, or I don't know, that's not my name, but. And they'll go, well, it might be. I wish I had some family reunion t-shirts for families I'm not in. That'd be great. I guess you could probably pick them up at the recycle clothes or something place. It'd be nice to have a collection of them. Because I see them at hotels. I'm always cheered. If I go to a hotel and I go, there's a family reunion here. And people are walking around hugging and they've all got the same shirt on. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, it's artificial and they really don't care for one another, but I don't care. I like the idea of it. So there they are. And there's Auntie so-and-so. And everybody's, I see the way they're looking at her. She must be something. And that's what I like. And I can't do that on this island. But you know what I can do? As a sign of hopefulness, just like the diary is, I'm going to make some shirts. I'm going to make them out of that weird kind of burlappy fabric that comes around coconuts. You might not see it unless you see coconuts in the wild. So the thing you see in the store, that has an additional husk around it. And then that, when it's on attached to the tree, has this sort of weird, there's some weird fabric-y looking stuff involved. It might have a name. And, oh, I've always not wondered what it was called. Isn't that funny? Sometimes I'm just completely incurious. And that's one of those instances. I guess if you see things enough, you don't need to name it. And I lived among the coconuts for a while. And so that kind of weird burlappy stuff. But I found it fascinating that it came kind of pre-weaved. I thought, this is neat. It's not very strong. I mean, you can't make a jacket out of it. It looks like something they'd come up with if the, you know, Star Wars costume people or something. These are the desert people of Coconut, and they wear these. You still have to make it out of something more durable than just the coconut fibers. Boy, I'm making myself hungry. I'm not, though, because there's nothing but coconuts. I'm beginning to think this is a tropical island. It's not where I started. It's not where the race originated. I believe the race originated on the Ohio. So I don't know how we got from the Ohio River to here, if this is in the tropics or something. But there is this rumor that in the Ohio River, I guess it was just, I don't know, I guess it was in Cincinnati, they had this theme park called Gilligan's. And they built a real island, the real Gilligan's Island, out in the river. And it folded very soon. But you'd go there and there'd be huts and you could get, they sold coconut cream pies and you get it, right? And it sounds like a great idea. You can buy sailor's hats and it's fun. And it reminds me of Dottie's out there in Western Kentucky. I forget what that, but it's just a fantasy. You know, it's like, oh, this is 1880 settlement. I don't know why there's a polar bear, but they had those, I guess, in Western Kentucky. But this is Gilligan's, and then it went under, but they couldn't get everything off the island. Like sometimes, like if a place, a zoo or something goes under, they can't catch all the creatures, and some of them roam the area. Like in South Florida, there was a place called Africa USA, and they gathered up all the animals when it closed, except for the peacocks, the peafowl. The peafowl ran amok, and they are there to this day. So there's some things they couldn't get on the desert island. One was the fellow who played Wrong Way Corrigan or whatever. And I think it was Hans Conried. So it was a Hans Conried impersonator, and he got left behind. A Phil Silvers impersonator got left behind, and they don't know what happened. Whether it's not like they breed or anything. It isn't like that. It's like, oh, they left behind these feral pigs, and that's why the population. If you leave behind Phil Silvers and Hans Conried, this does not happen. You just get Hans Gunn. I'm not going to do either one. You know that I love both. But don't do the voice. I've started telling myself that. Don't do voice, any voice. And then I'm starting to say, don't talk. But I don't want to go, no, Hardy, we want you to talk. Okay, I'll keep talking. And sometimes you have to, you don't want to. For instance, let's say you're all trapped in an elevator or something. And people start to panic and they go, oh, just Hardy, when you talk, I feel relaxed and almost sleepy. If you would talk, my soul would be calmed. And I wouldn't go, okay, what should I talk about? I don't know anything. I go, all right. And I'll say, like, oh, that did y'all see Towering Inferno or something real stupid like that? Like, yeah, think before you talk, man. You have to read the very tiny room, which is an elevator, and should be easy to read. But there's a lot of numbers, and I'm not good with numbers. And there's a little phone. I love it. I like elevators. I used to want to live in them when I was a kid. Not so much now, because I know they're suspended. And you go to one glass elevator, and you go, oh, nope. I don't want to live in here. I didn't know we were dangling from a rope.
This is a metaphor. You are in a little room that's hanging from a rope, but you don't know you are because there's no windows. But the minute there's windows, the minute this box is made of glass, you see in stark relief that you are hanging many feet above the ground by nothing but a cable, a thick and possibly thick steel cable, and then with redundancy with other thick, lots and lots and lots and lots of them, and all sorts of hydraulic brakes and things like that. That's all that's holding you up. And when you realize that, you know, one disgruntled superhero and that car could come plummeting down that shaft, and that would be it'd be not ideal, would it? And I looked around the car. Day 4. I fell asleep thinking about the elevator story again. When I woke up, I found I had eaten my pillow. So today I am a little horse, and I shall walk around the island yet again. This time I will be thinking about the coastline paradox and how I will never be able to measure it, because if I measure it more and more finely in all the contours, it'll take too long. So I probably will pay to have it done. I think that's the paradox. It's like, if you want it done, like where it goes around every grain of sand and everything, then you have to, that's costs. Also, it's not possible. So in that sense, it's immeasurable. Well, that's an easy lesson. I always thought paradoxes give you a really easy lesson. Okay, you'd say, all right, that's an unnecessary level of detail then. Then who cares about the very small? You're telling me the very small is really of no concern to us. Nor the very large. All right. It matters how much the rough outline of the coastline is. Okay. Relative to, say, ships or pedestrians. All right. It doesn't really matter about going around this. So the paradox is only there to demonstrate
what?
Well, that things usually careen off into the infinite or the absurd. And that's because the rules change, apparently, at different scales. And so what about the rules here? Do the rules of radio, are they different? You're asking this. Should I ask it in your voice? Are the rules of radio? I don't know how do you talk. Are the rules of radio different than? No, that's not you.
Are the rules of radio different than?
No, that's more like Phil Silvers. I don't know. Are the rules of radio different than real life? Are there rules? What do you mean rules of radio, man? Hardy, you're not letting the man tell you what to do. Are you constrained by some sort of constraints? No. Am I? I might be. It seems, saying no seems bad, seems foolish. So I'm sure I am. I'm sure there's something that holds me within this box, this frame, this island. I'm still on this island. Day 4, day 5, I write it down, but I don't believe myself. I was wrong about that first day, had it divided up wrong, merely took a nap, almost added an extra day. What day is it? Day 5. Woke up this morning feeling very positive. Had coffee. Don't know where it came from. Probably won't be able to duplicate that. May or may not have been coffee. I had a friend who decided to, I don't want to steal his thunder because he's a writer, and just say his name. Bucky McMahon, and he got on a raft, and he was going to raft the Gulf Stream by himself in a raft, and got on it, and zoom, he went, I guess, for a couple days, lost his mind, gave up. Now, and he's an adventurer, so that was, like, you would too, by the way. This isn't, it isn't something you do voluntarily. You go, well, people are lost at sea, and they last until they're found, but if they had a choice, they'd be like, I'd like to go home this evening, which is what we do at the end of most fishing trips or just any kind of thing in a raft like that. You know, there is hardship and isolation like that eventually breaks us down. You can see clearly we are not creatures that are meant to be in some kind of capsule and thrown into a vortex. So don't put on some kind of weird suit and go flying through a wormhole because you say, oh, don't you want to see the other side of the universe? No, I don't. I want to be with you, my friend. I don't want to see your side of the... I'm more concerned with your neighborhood. Up here, you've got some... There's some good restaurants going in. A lot of them... Some of them are food trucks. Some of them are going into what was empty store space. People are taking some chances. I don't know if they're going to... I think they should relax some rules and regulations like that to stimulate business. Say, hey, not all the food has to not make you sick. Because that's... I mean, I know that's... It's just hard sometimes. And a lot of times I think the restaurateur's pride takes care of that. Very few people who sell food really want to make you sick. And few do. So you always think it's food. I must have gotten food poisoning. Oh, it happened right before I drank that fifth of whiskey. So these, you know, your stew made me sick. I go, no, it didn't. I didn't. I ate a lot of it and I didn't get sick. But I'm able to tolerate a very, very heavy bacterial load because I myself am a type of bacteria. Oh, I'm a bacteria. I'm made of love. And if you put me on some sort of petri dish, on some sort of medium that's been, I don't know what you put in it, in that medium, in that agar or something. You put something to feed me. What do I like to eat? I eat light a lot. I don't know, like a salad. So you put a salad on there and I grow me, hearty white love bacteria. And you look in that petri dish in a few days and you go, that was in Hardy? That was in his mouth? Yes, his mouth is full of statements of love or wanting it. Yeah, I don't give that. I wish I was magic like that. You are a source of perfect love, Hardy. No, a lot of it is just I'll sponge back up the love I bring, even. I'll bring it to the... It's like a mop. You go, oh, take the mop, and you get the water on the floor, and you mop back up the water you just put there. I'll do that sometimes. What do you want to ideally do? Mop is a terrible, terrible analogy, so I'll just move on. Day 6. The island is beginning to close in on me. Also, there's been a lot of development, and I don't know why they need so much parking space. It doesn't make any sense. All that impermeable surface, the stormwater runoff is going to be a nightmare. This island is precarious. There's not much to it, and if the water has nowhere to go, oh, we're going to have problems. Why are people so foolish and greedy? Why couldn't they leave my little island alone? Why do they have to take it apart? Who cares what brings me joy when I am by myself here among the trees, among my imagination, where I'm climbing up there and I'm fighting, oh, big, not lizards. What would I fight? I don't want to fight anything. I mean, just for fun, maybe something, some kind of clown lizard looking thing or something that you could bring yourself to hit with a padded mallet. I don't know. That wouldn't be good. I don't mind getting my aggression out. I like games like that. And I might start a sort of, it's kind of a LARPing thing. I guess it's a jousting club where we really joust. We use rattan. And then we wrap the rattan with the coconut stuff like I talked about and pat it all up. And no one gets hurt. Some people get their breastbone broken. Or ribs crack pretty good. And then we will ride at each other very quickly. Now, if you've seen the Swiss Family Robinson, which was a Disney movie made right around the time when they were like, oh, this could be questionable. A Swiss family. That's a weird thing to specify. They're Swiss. They're not German. So they're Swiss, and they are they're stranded on a similar place like this, and they live in a banyan tree, something like that, and they race exotic animals. Mostly African ones. So I'm thinking maybe it must be Africa, but there was a zebra and an ostrich, or it could have been an emu. And then what else did they have? A panther. I think one of them was on. Different animals from all over the world. Richard Scarry's world, not a real one. No, what? I don't know. I don't remember what they were riding. A dove. One of them was on a dove. I remember that, one of the children. And they would race this on the island. We don't have that here. I'm thinking of getting something together. I'm thinking of starting a church. And she goes, why would you do that? Because I'm the only person here, and so it's not going to get out of hand. I mean, I'm not going to let anything get wrong or weird. But I wouldn't mind preaching to myself a little bit, or saying, you know, I mean, that's what you do when you do exercises. You go, let's all rise. I'd like to do that. I just want to, I know it'd be fun, is to do like if I had to be in a church service and everybody had to stand up, I would go, bump, 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 get the heck up. Bump, 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 bump. Simon says, get the heck up. Bump, 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 bump. We're going to read from the Bible now. Everybody go, bump, 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 get your Bibles out. There's going to be some shout. Bump, 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 bump. No, I wouldn't carry it on like that. But it's just a really super quick Pharaoh-Monch reference and then move on. They go, what, did I just hear that? That'll be like that in the church. But again, it's just me. I'm the only one. And there's no reason. I still have the meetings, though. Isn't that funny? I'm the only one, but I still have the, I go, you know, camp meeting, and we'll all meet, and we'll sit around, and I take it real seriously. And I make a fire, and to speak, you have to hold on to Franz Anton Mesmer, the cricket ball. So whoever has Franz, you hold him, and you go, I just think, it's hard not to speak in a passive voice, especially the stupid roommate meetings. I go, I just think that some of us are not pulling our weight when it comes to dishes. Like that, I'll say. And and then I'll get real defensive, even though I know that I'm talking about me. Isn't that funny? I wish I could take... It's hard to take criticism because you don't know what... It sort of depends on the spirit in which it's delivered, which is hilarious. Because normally news isn't like that. If the news is true, that's true. You know, you think, well, you know, it says here in the newspaper that there's been a fire at the theater. But I don't know. It's in Comic Sans. It doesn't matter what the, I mean, if it's, you know, that's not my cuppa. So I guess you could say it's completely wrong, but to say it's true, but you just don't like the form the information has come to you in, well, I don't know what to say, and I will leave you with this. Let's listen to this song. No, I don't have a song. I'm on a desert island. What do you think's going on here?
Clearly I'm dreaming.
I thought I was wide awake before, but I've been dreaming. You only think you're awake because stuff is happening and you can predict it, right? But what about the stuff that doesn't make sense? How is that not from the dream world? The place of impossibilities and incongruities and anachronisms.
Clearly I'm dreaming.
I normalize whatever I do in dreams. If I fly, then that's what I do, and I never question it. If I'm a ship's captain or climbing a mountain, I accept the role I'm in and do it and call it normal. I am wide awake and asleep and dreaming and dying and just being born. I am wide awake and asleep and dreaming and dying and just being born. I thought I was awake before.
I am dreaming clearly. Clearly I am dreaming. Clearly.
How is this not the place of impossibility?
Clearly, I am dreaming.
This must be who I am.
Wide awake, dreaming.
Then I'm awake.
And you're dreaming again. Day 7. I have decided to only record my dreams. I will no longer journal when I am awake. I will just dream journal. And dream journaling while you're awake seems, well, to be a contradiction. So I will only transcribe what's going on with me in my dreams of a prepositional phrase in my journal while I'm dreaming, between the sheets, under the moon. Is that done? I think that's it. And so I will, oh, there's a lot of modifiers. Oh, my goodness. So the way I learned about modifiers was there was a story. It was Snow White, and she, every one of the little people, the little minor men, that sounds so weird. There's no good way to say it. Why did I pick that one? But their names aren't Sneezy or Grumpy. They're all like Snow White from the village. So one of them is called From the Village, and then Snow White in a weird outfit. So they're all prepositional phrases that modify Snow White, but they're also her roommates, and they all live together like that, and they all, their costumes reflect what they are instead of that weird ableist nonsense that was going on with them before. So fix that. Pardon me. I've got to clear my throat, and then my throat will be a tabula rasa, and we'll have to put new stuff in it. So I don't want to do that yet. I'm going to reboot my brain and then just relearn stuff. That's extreme. Is that, I wonder if that's what reincarnation is. So some people remember, they go, oh, I kind of remember my past lives. What were they like? A lot like that book I was just reading. I don't know. I don't remember my dreams in this life. So I'm not sure I can remember past lives. I think I get a little, I don't remember my youth. So there you go. I go, well, that's just you. But most people remember from the beginning of time onwards. That'd be lovely. Gosh, I wish that was me. But again, struggling to remember the beginning of the show.
You remember your little ball friend, Franz Anton Mesmer?
Yes, yes, I remember that.
And you remember the huts that you made and the little chair made of coconuts?
The Adirondack chair made of coconuts. I remember all that. That's pretty fresh, even though it was 6 days ago. But I'm never going to get over this surviving, this loneliness on this island. I almost said I wish other people would wreck. I don't want that. I'd love to be rescued. But I also don't want to put people out. It's very humiliating to be rescued. I remember one time I fell, not into a well, but there was this thing called a pit of despair. And it was literal. And I had been walking in a sort of apocalyptic hellscape. Went down this thing. And then the spirits of my ancestors had to come together. And they looked like bed sheets, and I mean like fitted bed sheets with the pattern on them. And they scooped me up, and then here I am, alive now again in my dreams. And you're here, Hank, and you, Hickory. That's what I call my friends out there. And you, Shlomo. I don't know, there's some of them they didn't account for. Bev, you know, I noticed that the last time I looked at Wizard of Oz. At the end of the bedroom, she's like, Hank, you were the Tin Man. You know, Hickory, you were the Scarecrow. And then there's people missing. Because I know, just a munchkin bill alone, there were dozens and dozens of people. And who are they? Where are they? So not everybody's accounted for. So I'm like, some of them are real. Or the witch, the pretty witch, where's she? I say the pretty witch, but both of them I think are very, very just fine looking people. They all are. I'm not going to, gosh darn it, that, what's her name, Hamilton, gets, I know the actress isn't the character, but still, I don't know if that's her, those are her features or her skin tone, but still, it's okay with me, man. Tired of ragging on people's looks and things like that. Beautiful, beautiful living person. I think the flying monkeys are not bad looking either. There's a handsomeness to them. And I think they would make a nice fragrance logo.
I'd wear Flying Monkey. I don't know what it would smell like. It doesn't have to smell like the name. I mean, my goodness, Frankenberry doesn't taste like berries. It's just a name. So a lot of things are like that. Maybe I'm just a name. Maybe I'm on this island because I have no substance. I mean, I am dreaming on an island. That's about as separated as you can get from the reality of the presence of others. But I still, I still feel connected. It must be because I look like those who I've left behind. Look, I have similar, very similar makeup. Not exactly the same makeup, very similar. For instance, look, the foundation and all the eye shades and everything are the same brand. I'm not going to say because I don't want to give them any business. But there you go. And my jeans. I won't say what they are, but it rhymes with Google Gloy. No, I don't know what brand. I don't wear name brand jeans. You can get the generics or the geriatrics, which is, I don't know the difference. One of them doesn't have a label and one of them has more room in the butt. I guess they're very, shoes too. I just am going for comfort now, always. Everything, relationships, clothes, food. Don't need anything that gives me gas or pain. If I have emotional diverticuli, then I do not need the corn husks of your misbehavior, because that will just give me pain I don't need. And so I don't need the inflammation. Now, how do you fight being inflamed? I've extended it too far. Snap! That's what happens. You take an analogy, metaphor, anything, simile. They're all like each other in a way, aren't they? And then, but you stretch them too far, and they do, they will break at some point. I'm doing a lot of training with those giant rubber bands now. It's so much fun. I'll just wrap myself up with one and go, I'm the afternoon edition, like that, and throw myself in a neighbor's driveway. And other times, or I'll put one on and I'll go, I'll put one around my feet and one around my arms and say, I'm a bundle of fresh asparagus, like that. I'm going to make your pee smell. I don't say it to anyone. I wouldn't say that to anybody. That's a private between me and my privates. I say my privates. I imagine myself as sort of Sergeant Bilko, right? And I'm alone a lot. And so I make up my little troop. I call them my privates. And I say, hey, you Doberman, is one of them. You, we're having a card game, or I don't know what I say. I have lots of time to think it because there's nobody going, what is it, Sarge? Like that, because they're not real. So I'll just pause for a long time and I go, we're going to the races. And sometimes I really will go to the races. And they'll say, I'll be talking to someone there. Who are you talking to? I go, talking to my privates. It's weird. I know, it's strange. But I use my imagination therapeutically. So it doesn't seem strange to me. And I know a lot of... Something that's been a gift is that people laugh at me. And I never knew why. And I could never really control it. It's just like being the Hulk. You know, I'm like, oh, I've got a superpower, the Hulk says. It's like rage triggered or something. I don't know. But I can't just turn it on and off. But it's kind of useful if it comes on at the right time. And I'm like that with humor. It's like, I don't know why you're laughing at me, friend. But I'm going to keep saying things. And I bet you might laugh again, you might not. But I wish I could predict what it is. That a lot of people go, oh, it's the joke. You know, do say something in joke form, and then it'll be pretty obvious. But I don't know. And that's a lot of work. And also, what if they're laughing? What if it's derisive? I don't want to discourage it. It's just because maybe the motivation's wrong. That's dumb. It's like two people send you $10 bills. One of them sends you one because they want you to have $10. The other one sends it as a joke or They go, I'm sending this guy $10 for being the best idiot or something like that. As long as there's nothing else, you know, those are equal. So, I don't know, you laugh. If you laugh and then you keep coming back to my nightclub shows, I'm not supposed to plug, but here, I just want to plug a couple dates because they're literal dates. I'm not plugging the dates. I'm using the dates to plug other stuff. Mainly my homemade canteen. Again, a coconut. But a date goes in the bung. So I plug the bung with a date. And then I'll just eat it. Like, I go, well, it goes bad, but I'll eat the, I love them. And there is no nightclub. There's just this, us, you and I, sitting here on the deserted island, asleep. I'm going to wake up. I'm awake. Seemed a lot like the dream, but, oh, what was all that vague stuff that just happened? I'm disoriented. This is particularly funny, but it did remind me. My elderly beagle had a really violent seizure a couple weeks ago. And it was very scary, horrifying. Bless his heart. He's had one before, or I would have been absolutely beside myself, but it was, you know, it was rough to watch. And he's arthritic, so I was like, oh, he's going to hurt himself. Which he did. So anyway, he's fine now. But as this was happening, after Eddie comes out of it, and he clearly doesn't know what just happened. And it's just like, he was not there for it. I was there. I was present for a part of his life that he wasn't there for. Wow. And that's interesting. Sometimes we're there for one another. Sometimes we're witnesses to things that even we don't understand or haven't seen about ourselves. But somebody who loves us may see it, or somebody who feels compassion for us, and then we can do that for others too. Oh, it's just as sometimes it's just acknowledging and being there. Isn't that something? Being on that boat. Being present. I'm going to get off the island now. How am I going to do it? I don't know exactly. I think I will launch myself straight up into the clouds. That's how I'll do it. I'm going to make a rocket ship. I'm going to make a rocket ship out of things I find around here. Oh, there'll be palm tree stumps and fronds and conch shells. And other things I find from the sea. And I will make a rocket and launch myself into space. And there I will become like a explosive fireworks. And then I will notice that I'm out of time. And I should speed it up and say thank you so much for being here. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition, FMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Thank you for joining me, and I'll see you again next week.
Ebony. Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony.
Well, I'm at 15. I can come to you if that's more convenient.